Welcome to Backline Banter. Today we have a European competition episode, first one for the podcast. And of course, Liverpool played in the Europa League. For my time, they played this morning, so I thought definitely want to talk on this game. So let's add some other ones and do a special European competition episode. Today we will be talking about all the Champions League games that have been played the first and second leg. If they've only played the first leg and not the second leg, I'm not going to talk about it, but there are some teams that have already qualified into the quarterfinals, so I will talk about those games there. And we will also be talking about a big talking point, the Sam Kerr controversy. Sparta Prague 1, Liverpool 5, over in Romania, of course, at Sparta Prague's home ground. We end up winning 5-1 in the end. I'll run you through the goal scorers. For Liverpool, McAllister with a penalty in the 6th minute. Nunez with two goals, the 25th minute and the 48th minute. Diaz in the 53rd and Szoboszlai in the 94th minute. For Sparta Prague's goal, sadly for Connor Bradley, it was an own goal in the 46th minute. Before we jump into the highlights and I talk about the goals that were scored, because damn, 6-goal thriller. Obviously, a lot more of a thriller for Liverpool than Sparta Prague. But to be honest, our starting lineup was pretty good. I thought it was going to be filled with a lot more youngsters and given a lot more of our senior players a rest. But that's not the case. Klopp decided not to do so. So our following lineup in the game was Kelleher in goals, Gomez right back, Konate and Quansah in centre back, Robertson left back, captaining the side in this game. Midfield three of McAllister, Endo and Harvey Elliott. Right wing Gakpo, striker Darwin Nunez and left wing Diaz. So a very good team to take to Sparta Prague. And of course, as we know, Manchester City in 3 days' time in the Premier League, I thought a lot more people would have got rested and played a lot more people like Clark, Tsimikas, McConnell, Gordon, Dans, and anyone like that, because if we got an injury, and sadly, we did get one, and it's a big one. Konate in the 50th minute, just running back towards goal, and seems like he's pulled a muscle. So really, really not good signs. As soon as I saw that, I went, oh no, because really, we only have 3 centre-backs at the moment. Obviously, Matip out for the rest of the season, so the only 3 we really have is Van Dijk, Quansah, and Konate. Really not good signs. And you just think, is he going to be back in time for the City game? Oh, it's not looking good, that's for sure. The club hasn't said anything, Jurgen Klopp hasn't said anything about it, but it just does not look promising pulling up 3 days before in a game. He walked off the field and looked pretty good, but sprinting and trying to chase someone like Haaland, Foden is another thing. So not good signs there. A lot of positives to take from the game, but that was definitely the biggest negative. On the game, Liverpool played pretty well, of course, getting the goals in the end, and you've got to say, really just finishing the tie in the first leg over at Sparta, which is good as next week we do play them at home, so we'll be able to rest so many players with a 4-goal lead. You don't expect them to come back, and you would think that is us into the quarterfinals. Really positive from everyone on the pitch, although in that first half, Sparta Prague had so many chances, a lot more than I think anybody would have expected. They had multiple chances to draw the game 1-1, but they just couldn't find the back of the net. I don't know what it was, their shooting boots not on. Kelleher making a fair few massive saves. He was unreal when he needed to be. And once again, smashed it. What a performance by him. I feel like I'm saying this week in, week out, which is so good to be saying coming into the game against City. Of course, big loss with Alisson out, but Kelleher has stepped up phenomenally. As I was saying, Sparta Prague genuinely could have been about 4-1 up in the first half because so many chances and it just wasn't working for them. They were missing the target for some just completely mishitting it. Kelleher with some big saves. And you would have thought to give them any chance of qualifying into the next round, they had to take those chances, but missed all of them completely. Of course, they did get their goal, but it was Bradley putting it in his own net. It was actually his first touch of the ball, hitting it into his own net. You're not a real defender till you've scored an own goal. So at least he gets that out of the way. But yeah, just a cross coming in and he sprinted back trying to get something on it to stop it going to a player, which probably would have had a first time finish. And I would have said they would slot it, but seeing them in the first half, you just think they could have had an open goal and somehow could have missed it. But he just runs into it and it comes off his shin while he's sprinting to try and get something on the ball and fires into the back of the net. Nothing you can do about it. Things like that do happen and it is what it is. But with Sparta Prague's chances, it actually did make it for a very entertaining game for both teams. I actually did expect before the game had even started and the days coming into it, I thought this would actually be a very tough game. I thought we honestly possibly could have lost it or even drawn it, you know, over at Sparta Prague. And I thought too, we would have rested so many more players than we did. Because again, game against City, it is a massive one. And how we've been going with our injuries lately, you just think we could play a friendly match against the worst team in the world and still somehow pick up an injury. It is an absolute joke. And again, once Konate went down, I went, oh man, because I hope he's back in time for the City game, but it just seems very unlikely. But we started the game off well, getting a penalty in the 6th minute. McAllister won it. He sprinted on the ball using his pace to get a bit of a loose touch from one of the Sparta Prague's defender. Got to the ball first. Defender clipped him. Definite penalty. And referees, they don't get much flowers, you could say. But he did a great job to spot the penalty, give it straight away, not making everybody wait a long time. He looked at it, gave a second. Yep, that's a pen. VAR would have had a quick look of it and gave the all clear. Didn't have to get him to the monitor. And yeah, good call. So with that penalty, I was thinking, surely Darwin Nunez has got to take it. Obviously, he had one against Chelsea in the Premier League, which he did hit the post in, but I thought, you know, everyone misses a penalty. It is unlucky that that was his first penalty he's ever taken for Liverpool. But McAllister steps up to takes it and does beautifully to score. Just shoots it left corner. The keeper given no chance to save it. He dived the other way, but even if he dived the right way, never saving it. Beautiful pen by McAllister. And the perfect start away from home, especially we wanted goals. And of course, we did get them. To see if we can finish this game in the first leg. The next two goals scored by who else but Darwin Nunez. And this will be the deep Darwin dive. We'll put it in right in the middle of the Liverpool experience. Darwin Nunez's first goal of the game. What a stunner. Gets the ball from Harvey Elliott outside the box. Just holds the ball at the top of the box. Thinking about what should he do. And just cuts inside, takes a touch. And then does a beautiful power dipping shot to beat the keeper. First time seeing it, I thought, wow, what a goal. That is in the corner. What a finish. But looking at the replay, it was actually middle of the goal. And really, it caught the keeper off guard and just dipped beautifully under the bar to put it into the back of net. Still an unreal finish by Nunez. But definitely a little bit of questions asked on the keeper. Could he do better? I do think most keepers aren't saving it anyway. And yeah, Nunez deserves applaudits for that one. That's for sure. Something out of nothing. And just when you think he can't do better, his second goal of the game. McAllister plays in the ball over the top. The ball takes two bounces and Nunez absolutely hits it with the laces. What a finish. Past the keeper, into the corner, side netting. The defender on him kind of just standing off him a little bit because there's no chance that he's going to score from the position he's in. But he does exactly that. Keeper's got no chance to save it. Hit with so much power, so accurate in the side of the goal. And wow, again, two unreal finishes. I've been saying for time now, once Nunez clicks and just everything starts flowing, he starts getting his goals in on a consistent level, he will be the best striker in the world. And he's doing exactly that at the moment in fire form. He is seeming like at the moment he gets a chance and he puts it away. No questions asked about it. And even does it with his flair, pulls up out of nowhere to score long range goal on the volley. Just incredible by him, really. What a game from him. But sadly, of course, we want to rest him as much as we can for the big game. So he did come off in the 50th minute. Bit annoying for him though that he did get taken off and wasn't able to get his hat trick, because I reckon if he played the full game at least, he definitely would have got another one and get his first Liverpool hat trick. But it's more important to rest him and just make sure he does not get an injury, because Nunez, such a big player, and when we don't have him in the team, we lose a lot of attacking threat, and we need that against City, that's for sure. Especially in the form he is in. Overall performance by him, I would say about a 9 out of 10 performance. Really good, but he did have a chance early on. I believe it was in the first couple minutes. He had a chance where he got the ball in the box, got past the keeper, and just couldn't get his shot right to put it in the back of the net. But it happens, and he replies with two stunning goal, so that's why it's only a 9 out of 10, not a 10 out of 10. And again, he's looking so promising. I cannot wait to see him play against City. Should have a big performance. Of course, he'll always have a big impact. And everyone talks about him not being clinical enough. Well, this game, he takes three shots, two of them, of course, being a goal, and one he just hit off target. Absolutely killed it, and is going to be an absolute joy to watch him for the rest of the season. Back to the Liverpool experience. Our fourth goal to make it 4-1 and restore our three-goal lead after Connor Bradley's own goal is scored by Luis Diaz. Harvey Elliott passes him the ball. He's in the box, takes a shot, and a deflection to beat the keeper and just goes straight down the middle of the goal. The keeper diving to his right because that was where the ball was going, but the deflection just put it off target and he couldn't get anything on it. Bit lucky for Diaz, but deserved it. Played pretty well, and nothing better to see more people get on the score sheet. Another big positive from the game, Mo Salah, back from injury, came on the 74th minute just to have a little runabout, and he did end up putting the ball in the back of the net in the 84th minute. Got a ball from Szoboszlai, very unselfish for him to not take the shot and slip Salah in, and Salah just did beautifully to finish in the net. Everyone celebrated, but it got ruled out for offside on Salah. Very close, but he was just off. And Salah doesn't get a goal on his sub appearance. But Liverpool do end up getting the fifth goal. Dominic Szoboszlai, the 94th minute. The right mid for Sparta Prague, Presadio. That's definitely not how you say it, but I forgot how the commentator said it, so we're going to stick with Presadio, the Ecuadorian player for him, who I thought played pretty well for Sparta Prague. Definitely one of their brightest sparks for most of the game, apart from up until the end when he just completely misses the ball and lets it run to Szoboszlai, who just runs inside past one defender and puts it into the corner of the net. The keeper did get a touch, but not enough to steer it out of goals. And again, good to see him on the score sheet. He came on in the 50th minute, of course, coming back from a hamstring injury. and looking good again, looking fit. So it will be interesting to see if he starts against City. And I believe that is everything on the game. A good win for us, 5-1, to take a 4-goal lead when we play him again at Anfield. You definitely do not see them getting at least 4 goals at Anfield. No chance. So looking good for the quadruple again. Bit more progress in it. My man of the match for the game, either Nunez or Harvey Elliott. Of course, Nunez played 50 minutes, 2 goals, and Harvey Elliott played the whole game and got 3 assists. So I am going to give it to Harvey Elliott. Played an absolute class game, solid as always. And you know me, I love Harvey Elliott. 3 assists, played the full 90. What a man. Definitely dictated in that midfield. There was a lot of space in that middle of the park a fair few times, and he absolutely drove into it, playing the crucial balls. As you can see, the 3 assists again, and well-deserved man of the match, in my opinion. With that all said and done for the Sparta Prague Liverpool game, we move on to the prediction on the Liverpool versus Man City game in the Premier League. An absolute massive game, first versus second. A big decider for the title this year, because even a draw could put Arsenal in first place by the end of the game week if they win their game. So massive for the 3 top teams in for the race. And of course, I've got to say, Liverpool will win that game. I do believe they will. If we had all our players fit and no injuries, I'd have no questions asked about it. We would beat them. But it is going to be a lot more harder with all our injuries. But at Anfield and big games like this, we always pull something out of the bag. You see it against Chelsea. You see it against Forest late on. We are just making it work. And you really feel that everything is just going our way at the moment. Kind of meant to be. Klopp's last season. Going to win him all the trophies we can. And I believe all the boys will dig deep and do a ripper of a performance against City at home. If this game was at the Etihad, I think we would lose. But being at Anfield, it just gives us that extra thing we need to get us across the line. And I can't wait to watch it. It is going to be such a thrilling game. So important. Just wait for Nunez to pull out a massive performance against them. Score predictions for the game. I'm going to go 2-1 to Liverpool. I reckon Nunez and Salah will get the goals for Liverpool, but City will manage to get a goal. I got a feeling it's going to come from a corner, and one of the defenders, Diaz, Ake, whoever it may be, as our backline so strong. Obviously, a big blow if Konate doesn't play, but Kwanzaa is quality. He can do a job, that's for sure. But I reckon we'll defend really well the whole game, but let a corner slip in. Haaland definitely not scoring this game. Van Dijk has got him locked down to a T. I think he's only scored once against us, and I don't remember the goal, but I remember it being some BS, either a tap-in or a penalty, and didn't deserve it. But Haaland going to have a quiet game. Although Phil Foden and De Bruyne, those are the two players I am a little bit worried about, to say the least. But like I said, we're going to have a big performance and we're going to shut down big players like that and get us the win 2-1. Then once we beat them, it will just be either us or Arsenal to see who doesn't drop points and become the winner of the Premier League. Massive game, and it's going to be a massive podcast episode talking about that game. Probably be very similar to the last episode where I talked a lot about 2 big games and then quickly about all the others. Unless somehow we do end up losing and it might be a quick episode, but that won't happen and we will get the win 2-1. Mark my words, Nunez, Salah and Ruben Diaz for City to score. Into the Champions League fixtures. The first one we'll talk about, and it will be pretty quick, Man City versus Copenhagen. In the first leg, it was 3-1 Man City, and in the second, it was the exact same 3-1 to City. So aggregate 6-2 Man City win and go through to the quarterfinals. It's going to be a very big matchup on who they play. And as long as they don't play PSG, I'm happy. Because this Champions League season, of course, Liverpool not in it. And PSG, my second team, I'm going for them to make it all the way. But I'll talk about that a little bit more on their game. Honestly, overall, I thought Copenhagen did pretty well against City in both legs, managing to get a goal. Of course, City very dominant, having so much possession. But I thought Copenhagen did well to play in the counter-attack, get some shots and get two goals in the two games. But not much you can do when you're drawn up against City and when a couple players are worth more than your whole team combined. So good effort by them. And really, the real win Copenhagen got in the Champions League is knocking Man United out of it. Can City win back-to-back trophies? Well, of course, very, very possible. The only teams that I see that really can challenge them are Real Madrid, Inter, and possibly Arsenal, which hopefully they get one of those teams in the next leg so they can take them before they get very far into the finals. But we'll see what happens. Bayern Munich 3, Lazio 1 on aggregate. The first game in Lazio, they won 1-0. Bayern dominant in the first leg at Lazio's ground, but they couldn't find the goal. And Upamecano getting a red card in the 67th minute and Immobile slotting the penalty 2 minutes later. They couldn't find a way back into the game. So they took a one goal disadvantage into their game at home against them. And like the first game, they were dominant, but even more dominant. And this time getting the 3 goals and no red cards. Kane scoring 2 and Muller also getting a goal. Big win for Bayern. You did expect it though. And also a team I didn't mention that could compete with City, but they definitely can do it. But they've got Harry Kane in their team now, so they're definitely not going to win the Champions League this year. No, I'm just joking. They've got pretty decent chances, but I don't see them winning it in general. They haven't been at their best in the Bundesliga, of course. Bayern Leverkusen in front by 10 points now, I believe. Bayern, of course, can play really well on their day and beat any team they want, I reckon. But they're just not doing it at the moment, not consistent enough. And you've only got a couple games to do it against a certain team in the Champions League. And if they mess up that first one big time, then the second one's going to be very hard to get back into. And I don't see them getting past some of the bigger teams. But a good start for them, though, to get into the quarterfinals to beat Lazio 3-1 on aggregate. Real Madrid 2, RB Leipzig 1 on aggregate. A very close game in both legs. I don't think many would have expected this from Leipzig. Played really well in both games. Real Madrid getting a goal lead at Leipzig's ground in the first leg, but the second leg, it finishes 1-1, a very, very fiery game. I watched the second half of this game. There were tackles flying in everywhere and a fair few yellow cards being dished out as well. So much passion on the pitch, but Leipzig unable to find an extra goal back. And Madrid gave themselves a 2-goal lead on aggregate with Vinicius and Bellingham. Beautiful link-up play. Bellingham a perfect ball and Vinicius hits it into the top corner. What a duo there. And both played pretty well. Vinicius, I thought a fair few times he lost the ball and wasn't super quality with it, but he pops up with a goal and does exactly what he needs to do. But just when RB Leipzig look like they're out of the race and they will not qualify into the next round, 3 minutes later, Willy Orban scores from a header to give him a chance back into the game. And rest of the game, they were fighting really hard to get another goal. And they had so many chances in the game, 20 shots, but only 4 on target and wasn't able to get another goal to take it into extra time. But well fought by RB Leipzig. And a little bit worrying if you're a Real Madrid fan, because you do expect Madrid not to roll past them, but win a lot more confidently, especially in the leg at home. Not the case, but we do know how good Madrid can be, and Bellingham, Vinicius, Rodrigo, even Valverde, what an attacking threat they do have. And like I said, an experience in the league and have a good chance to make the final. The last Champions League game I will talk about is PSG versus Real Sociedad. On aggregate, 4-1 to PSG. A dominant and confident performance at home to give them a 2-0 lead going into the second leg. One thing from that game though, PSG definitely could have gave themselves at least another goal or two to pretty much finish the tie in one leg, but they were unable to do it. But who else but the best player in the world, Kylian Mbappe, gets a brace, gives his team a 4-0 lead on aggregate. Marino does pull one back though for Sociedad in the 89th minute, but too little, too late, and PSG doing really well to qualify against them. Now, I did think, of course, they were going to qualify into the next round and beat Sociedad, but I did think it was going to be a little bit closer. But I suppose it just shows that this PSG squad is slowly getting better and better and used to playing with each other and getting used to playing in big games. Like I said earlier, I am rooting for PSG to win the whole thing. I know, very unlikely, but I want them to do it because they're my second favourite team in the world. I don't watch a lot of them apart from when they do play in the Champions League, but I absolutely love Mbappe, and they were the first big team that really got me into football until I found Liverpool, and now big Liverpool supporter. But I've always wanted to see PSG do well in the Champions League, and in the season where they made the finals and just lost to Bayern 1-0, it was very sad, and ever since then I've wanted them to get back there and even win it. But you did think at the start of this season, with no Neymar, no Messi, it's going to be a very tough job. Kylian Mbappe, in his last hurrah for the club, can he do an absolute miracle and get them into the finals? Now, it's going to be tough. It really is. And they're going to need a bit of luck. They're going to need skill. Definitely not one of the favourites to win it. And I also think a fair few people even tipped them to not even advance in the round of 16 past Sociedad. PSG always winning the league in Ligue 1. But there's always that conversation is there's not much competition to them. They have so much money invested in the squad. And it always comes to the Champions League and they're just unable to do it. And I know from experience, so many heartbreaks. That Real Madrid game stands out especially for me. Having so much of a lead and then Benzema hat-trick. It still hurts that day. But we've moved past it. And I really hope they get one of the easier teams in the next round. But it's complete luck of the draw. And fingers crossed they get as far as they can. So Mbappe, hopefully he's got a very strong back to carry him all the way through. But the PSG squad looking very young, looking very alive. You never know, they could pull out a miracle. And that is all the Champions League games that have been finalized in the round of 16. Of course, there are still four games to play to decide the other teams if they'll make it through. There's Arsenal versus Porto, which of course Porto have a 1-goal lead. Barcelona versus Napoli, and it's a 1-1 on aggregate. Atletico Madrid versus Inter, and Inter Milan have a 1-goal lead. And Dortmund versus PSV, and that is 1-1. So some big games, a little quick prediction for all the teams. Who do I think is going through? Arsenal versus Porto. I think Arsenal's going through. I think at home, they will dominate Porto. Barcelona versus Napoli. I reckon Napoli's going to get through. Barcelona at home, I reckon they're the favourites, but I think Napoli, very good. Love Osimhen. And Barcelona, my opinion, not looking very good this season. At least not looking the best. So I reckon Napoli pulls one out of the bag. Atletico Madrid versus Inter. Now, Inter do only have a 1-goal lead, but I know how quality they can be. They got to the finals last year and so close, nearly won it, but didn't. So I think Inter will qualify. And Dortmund versus PSV, a very close game and a very close and good game in the first leg. But at Dortmund's ground, I reckon they will qualify. Sam Kerr controversy. There are allegations of her racially harassing a UK police officer. This incident happened on the 30th of January 2023. Now, there are reports that Sam Kerr could get 6 months jail time if she is found guilty. She entered a not guilty plea in court and will likely face another hearing in 2025. But such a massive face of football in Australia, especially on women's sport, and for claims like that, it is massive. Now, I don't have much of an opinion on this because I have seen no evidence. There's only claims on it. You know, no videos, no audio that's come out of her doing such a thing. And of course, such a famous figure, I just don't see her doing it. This is just me going on what I know. No evidence, just claims. And she's done so much for Australia in terms of soccer, but in general, the big thing in women's soccer. Such a big inspiration to many. You just don't see that she could be a person that could say hurtful things and especially racial terms to a police officer, but it is being talked about all over Australia, so it is a big deal. But you always see big players like herself getting caught in the media due to claims by people, as of course such a big public figure, anything negative about them would be a massive story. So people do tell a fair bit of rubbish. I'm not saying they're always wrong, but for the most part, it's just a lot of waffle. And really, all it does is ruin their reputation for no reason. A big example is Peter Boll. Documents was released that he failed a drug test and was using steroids to help boost his running performance. But it turns out, and I don't remember exactly, so don't quote me, but I believe he got a false positive on his drug test for doping. But the big thing I found was that the documents that showed his false positive should not have even been released to the public. So I remember blowing up and just ruined his reputation name. And I believe 6 months after the scandal, till he got exonerated and was able to run again. But just something as silly as that, a false positive, the document got released to the public, which it shouldn't have. It should have just been given to his team and then do another test, and then the real result would have happened. But the media just taken that and blown it up, which it did. And what could be happening to Sam Kerr now? Again, I'm not saying that she didn't do it because I don't know. But I'm only saying what I can see. And for the most part, she seems like a good person and wouldn't do it. But I just thought a big discussion in Australia at the moment, so I thought I'd just touch on it a little bit. And of course, Sam Kerr is not playing football at the moment. She tore her ACL, so she had knee surgery, and she's hoping that she can be back in time for the Olympics. And I just want to touch too on what a player she is, because absolute quality. The past 2 years, she's came second in the women's Ballon d'Or both times. And of course, in my opinion, I thought she should have won both of them. Did amazing for Australia in the World Cup when she was able to play. I remember a screamer against France, and just done so much for the country and Chelsea in her past years. What a footballer. And yeah, sad to see all the claims against her name. Thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it. It's one a little bit of a shorter episode, focusing not on that many games, but wanted to talk about Liverpool, and especially after the game, a 5-1 win, a big result, a lot of talking points. I've wanted to do a Champions League episode for a while, so here it is. If you can do anything to help the podcast, that would be greatly appreciated. Give me some feedback, because that is the only way myself is going to get better. And stay tuned for the next episode coming out, a big one, Liverpool versus Man City. See yous later.